When I was in high school, a group of us went to a concert. Now, before I get any further into this story, this was 20 years ago. This was B.C. before Christ for me. So everything that I hear, no judgment. This is a safe space, right? So I went to a concert. We went to see the Steve Miller Band. And now before you think, wow, Father Brian is a lot older than I thought. This was a friend of mine won the tickets from a classic rock station, and they were classic rock at the time, and they were old when we saw them. I think this was like the Waiting for the Social Security Check tour, right? So they were very old, and we skewed the audience younger by being there. But a group of our friends, I think there were like eight of us, climbed into this tiny, my friend had a 1967 powder blue, very wrecked Peugeot that he got for $300. You'd feel every mile on the road when you were driving in this thing. We all crammed in there, and he had tickets for really good seating, like front row kind of seating. You could see every wrinkle in that band at that point. But he had two of those, and the rest of us got tickets for the far, far back row. And when we got there, my friend had this great idea. We went it was at a time when people were still kind of gathering, and the front section looked pretty empty. And so he said, you know what we can do? We've got two tickets. One of us can go in with someone else, bring one in, and then we go out, the other one leaves, and then brings in another and goes in that way. I'm sorry, Mom, you're probably hearing this story for the first time. I was really scared. I was very timid with this stuff. I was really scared, and I was very guilty feeling in all of this. But my courage wasn't big enough at the time. And so I went along with this. I was with the group, and we brought all of us in to this section, and a buddy of mine were sitting in the second row. We didn't want to just get into the first row or anything. We didn't want to be too obvious about this. But we were sitting in the second row, and soon some pensioners, some retirees came up and said, hey, I think you guys, I'm sorry, but I think you're in the wrong seats. And, you know, we said, apology accepted, no problem, we'll stay right here. You know, we didn't know what to do. And it was enough of a kerfuffle that security came up. A big guy came up and he just said, I'm going to need to see all of your tickets. Well, ours were for like triple Z in the back row here, and we were in like 1A. And so we kind of were scared, and he knew what was going on. I was absolutely terrified. I was so scared, and he said, you know, you could be thrown out of the concert for this. You know that we could bring the authorities involved in all of this. And I think he probably saw tears coming out of my eyes at this point or something, and he just said, go to the back row, you know. And so that was the end of it. So we got to see Steve Miller from like way, way up there, but it was terrifying. I kind of felt like, you know, it was absolutely the case. I didn't belong there, and this guy knew it, and we got sent all the way to the back row to hear Space Cowboy, you know, that was so terrifying. That stayed with me, this kind of experience of, I don't belong here. This story that Jesus tells today, or this account of Jesus at a dinner, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of these kind of cultural nuances that we can maybe miss in all of this. At a banquet in Jesus' day, there's a ton going on. Okay, this isn't just something that happens in somebody's dining room. This is an entire city affair to watch this whole thing. Houses were built where there was kind of an inner house and then an outer court, and everyone would watch this happen. If a banquet was going on, if something was occurring, everyone in the town would be watching what was going on. And Jesus comes in, and he is at once observer and participant. He is the guest of honor at this banquet, and he's brought in. And what he sees is this behavior that's really, really ugly. And he starts to establish in that some kingdom rules. If you would imagine that the table was set, and again, this is a meal of show, right? People are watching this. And so imagine, if you will, something kind of like our altar, except a little bit lower and kind of rounded. It's sort of U-shaped is what their table would be like. And they're sitting on small couches. where about three people would get on a couch at a time, one on the left, one on the right, one in the center, okay? Kind of helps to think about when they talk about, we want to sit at your left or right hand in the Gospels. That's kind of what they're talking about, on that first bench. And so what happens is people are jockeying for position. You would imagine they know Jesus is the guest of honor, and he's not taking a seat, but they know he's going to be in the center, and everyone wants to be close to him. Everyone wants to be in the center. The closest I think that we have as far as arranged seating is maybe like at a wedding. And you would imagine there's kind of that front table. Well, imagine your weird uncle walks up to that table and thinks I deserve to be here. And someone has to tell him, like, no, Uncle Jimmy, you got to go over here, right? That's embarrassing. But we don't have that same kind of culture of embarrassment. If something like that happened to me, I'd probably, like, just tweet about it and bring it to light. But in Jesus' day, that kind of embarrassment, that kind of shame, is almost worse than death. And so what Jesus is telling them is this, imagine the example where you go to the table and they're like, what are you doing here? You should be toward the back. That kind of shame is worse than death. But at the root of what Jesus is talking about is not shame or embarrassment, but this understanding of humility and pride. And it's been this war that we've been experiencing since that first bite of that fruit. It's this battle that we have of thinking better of ourselves than we should. Why is this so important? Well, pride is a damnable offense. If you consider that what pride does to us, at its root, it is against kingdom principles. I'm reading Old Testament. Cain and Abel are out, and Cain slays Abel. Abel dies, and Cain keeps this a secret. It's a murder, and he hides it. And God calls him out, and he says, your brother's blood is calling up from the ground. And since you did this horrible, horrible thing, remember, it wasn't that long ago when, like, eating the fruit was the worst thing. Look how fast it's gone. And since you've done this horrible, horrible thing, you have to wander the earth for the rest of your life. And what does Cain say? I'm so sorry? No! He says, that punishment is too much. I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. Can you imagine being in that position and saying, I am a mess, I know what I'm like on the inside, and then telling the God of the universe, this isn't fair. Well, if you can't imagine it, think that we kind of do this every single day. I'm reading The Imitation of Christ. Thomas Aquinas says, should the clay call out its potter? Right? We're dust. And we're calling out to the one who made us and saying, this isn't fair. Life is hard. I don't deserve this. Well, think about what that means. The more we spend our lives considering what we deserve, it can get really dangerous. And I think what Jesus is saying here is, you really think you even deserve a place at this table? If you were really given what you deserve, you kind of deserve hell. And what Jesus says at the end of this passage here is he's establishing all of these kingdom rules. And he says there is no place for pride in the kingdom. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Why pride is so dangerous is that it makes the cross look so foolish. If I'm not in need of saving, what does it mean that we have a Savior that died for me? It means nothing. Pride is so dangerous that part of Jesus' mission here on earth was to break our pride. Again, Thomas Aquinas talks about Jesus came to become the most humble an abject person in the world so that by his blood we would conquer that pride within us. That pride is so warring within us that when Jesus came, he wanted to put it to death. And then Jesus offers up what it looks like to invite someone to a banquet in the kingdom of heaven. He turns to the host of the party and he says, when you invite to your banquet, invite the blind, the poor, the lame. Invite those ones who could never, ever reciprocate with an invitation. This would sound crazy because this was, again, a culture where you wanted to be invited to the best parties. You wanted to be seen as someone who's at the top of a guest list. You invite the impressive, the powerful, because then your party looks awesome. Check out the guest list and check out the invitation I got from those people. But what Jesus is saying is so much deeper than just inviting those who can invite you back. Jesus is saying this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. The poor, the blind, the lame are invited. And what we so often miss in these moments is that we are the spiritually poor. Our souls are blind. We are the very people that Jesus invites to the banquet with the full knowledge that we could never, ever reciprocate his invitation. We could never, ever match his love, his invitation, his sacrifice for us. That's what the kingdom of heaven does when it invites people in. When Jesus dies for us and brings us to that banquet table, it's with that knowledge that we could never repay. It's with that knowledge that he has rescued us from much ailment, from spiritual disability, and brought us to the banquet table. One person in reading this scripture said, when we humble ourselves, the only danger we face is that we might be exalted. When we humble ourselves and recognize that we are the ones who could never repay for an invitation, when we humble ourselves and recognize that we are the spiritually blind, that our souls are lame, this is when we call out to a Savior who has come as a humble and abject man to live as one of us, to walk with us, to die, and to invite us to the table. Spend no more time thinking about that we deserve this, when what we really deserve is a Christless eternity. And yet God came as the most humble, to walk this earthly walk, to die and to be raised again, so that by believing in him, by trusting in his sacrifice, the humbled would be exalted. The poor, the sick, the lame, the broken of this world would walk into the kingdom of heaven and be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what the kingdom looks like. The poor, the blind, the lame, the broken, those who are in desperate need of saving, calling out to a Savior so that when he hears and answers, we would be fed. Think not that we deserve this, but that we are given an incredible salvation by the one who came to save us.